I agree with Brother Jeff that some of these services are some of the most special. And my heart is stirred to think of Jesus tonight. And I greet you in his name. My heart is stirred. I want to love him more. The songs have been so meaningful. And just pray that God will continue to speak to our hearts and speak to our needs. We learned in instruction class, young men, that baptism is an ordinance, which is an outward sign, right? Tonight we see the outward sign, we see the symbol, we see the actual happening of baptism. I remember, and it's important, it is. I remember as a pretty young lad, we went to a baptismal service for a cousin, and we went all the way to Delaware, and I woke up at the end of the service and realized I had missed the baptism. And I was so disappointed. I thought we went all the way to Delaware and I missed it all. And I did in a sense, and yet all I missed was the water pouring, right? It's a symbol of something that has happened in our hearts, and it's a symbol of a commitment going forward, right? And that's what we're excited about tonight. The ceremony is important. It's a very sobering step, and yet a very joyful step in the life of a child of God. It's a declaration of stepping from the old life to the new life. It's a declaration, I'm not my own. I'm now somebody else's. I belong to Jesus, my Lord, and I'm committed to him. And baptism seals that commitment, that covenant, that vow that you make to God. I had to reflect a little bit. My mind went back through the years. Doesn't seem like so many years ago. Well, it was 16 years this week on Thanksgiving Day that we were gathered here at this church waiting for Devon to arrive. He was born the day after Thanksgiving and brought a lot of joy to our home. But here we are so quickly and so soon. We've known Devon all of these years. Carl, we haven't known as long, but I just think about all the happenings that God brings together to bring us to a service like this. All of the people, all of the truths, all of the paths, all of the pain even, just all of the things that have happened in our lives that God has intricately weaved together into the events that we call life. And here we are tonight in God's sovereignly purposed will. And we look ahead to events like this sometimes, especially when we're younger. We look at big events and we kind of almost set them up as the ultimate. And we say, well, when this happens, you know, that's all we can look forward to. It's like, that's it's everything. It's what I want. But you learn really quickly that those events come and life keeps right on going. And you're forced to move on with life. And there's a sense in which you've been looking forward to baptism. We've been going through instruction class, and this is a big event, and it's important. It's so nice to see so many of you gather here to witness this. But God isn't done with you. This isn't the end. That's not even really the beginning. But it is a continuation of what God has done and wants to do in your life. I want to look at a story in the book of Acts about God working with men, working with people to bring, working through events to bring men to a saving knowledge of himself. And we'll see some of God's work and we'll see some of man's choices and responses and how that fits together and just evaluate what God's really looking for in our lives. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Particularly, we want to look at the choices and the responses that you can make as young men. As you arise from here, arise as it were after baptism, and as you walk in newness of life, the choices, the attitudes, the responses that will make a difference in your life and in the lives of others. And we want to draw lessons from the life of both the Ethiopian eunuch and also the life of Philip, the deacon. The title is taken from verse number 26, arise and go. Arise and go. You young men will go far as you make these challenges from this passage your own. Let's read this set of verses here. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of the Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Excuse me. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Then the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Arise and go. Let's talk about this Ethiopian a little bit. I don't know if he was a young man, older man, middle-aged man, but he was entrusted with, he says he was in the high court of an official of Candace. He was an official of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. But what I find interesting is that he came all the way to Jerusalem. Now, how far is it from Ethiopia to Jerusalem? It's far. A straight line, by the way the crow flies, is about 1,600 miles. Take that by road, maybe 2,000. Not by train, not by plane, but by chariot. 2,000 miles approximately. What would drive him to go that far? What was he doing? What was he looking for? What was he after? Well, it says here what he was doing in Jerusalem. It says he went to Jerusalem to worship. To worship. The first point this evening is make worship a priority in your lives. Make worship a priority in your life. He came all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem for to worship, verse 27. Again, I don't know. There's so many details, and there's so much speculation that we could do. Why he was there? Who was he really? Was he a proselyte? Was he even allowed in the temple? I don't know. But it says he came to worship, and then he was returning. And on his way home, what did he do? He got out his phone and checked the news, right? He got out his Bible, and he started reading his Bible while he traveled. How do we pass our time? How do we pass our time when we're traveling? It's a good question to ask. How important is personal time with God? What is important enough to take the place of it? He saw group worship, corporate worship, as a very important thing, and he obviously saw personal worship as a very important thing as well. We travel far sometimes. Maybe it's the home I was raised in, but We travel far for church. We just go. And some of the men that I work with just shake their heads. They don't understand. You mean it's just for an evening service and then you're coming back? Yes, that's right. But men of God who desire to be men of purpose, and men of God who desire to be men that can be used of God, place a high priority on worship. It means something to them. Group worship and personal worship. It's one of those things that helps to reinforce in our minds the eternal side of life, more than just the here and now. There's somebody. There's a God. There is a Savior. There is one who created us, who we are accountable to. And it lifts our eyes from the temporal to the eternal, from the here and now to what is yet to come. And we worship and we draw our hearts in just like we do tonight. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Do you want to go far with God? Arise and go. The burden is that I think the reason we church leaders get so excited about baptismals is because there's a lot of work to do. And there's so much work that can be done. And we need more people to do the work. And there is, as young men grow up among us, they can go further than we went. And we look forward to sending our children out into the enemy territory and doing things beyond what we can do. And so my desire is that you would go far with God, that God would take you places and use you. You want to go far with God? One of the things that you need to do is arise to the challenge of worship. Another thing I find interesting here with this Ethiopian is in verse 31, when he asked this question, "How can I?" Philip says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "Well, how can I? Unless if someone would teach me or show me or guide me." The second thing I want you to learn about life and the ability to go far with God is to be humble enough to accept and ask for help. Be humble enough to accept and ask for help. Now, we talked about humility Thursday evening at council meeting. And so I'm not going to talk a lot about this. But this childlike quality that God looks for in his people of humbleness and teachableness is really very, very valuable. Because, well, our human nature, so many times in our own lives, we come up against things and we just want to figure it out on our own. We just, and we'll go until we're out of options, and then we get out the instruction manual, right? We think we have to figure it out. There's something in us that as humans, we want to be able to solve the situation ourselves. And when we come to the end, and then we throw up our hands and say, "Well, it just seems impossible," then we'll ask for some help. Maybe open your heart to someone else. It's only after we've exhausted all of our possibilities, too often, not always, but too often, it's then that we realize that we don't have a solution and we need to seek help from someone else. And it could be for a variety of things. Maybe it's an addiction of some kind, or maybe it's in a serious illness, or maybe it's a fear that you live with or a besetting sin. Maybe it's financial failure, or maybe it's pain over a broken relationship or ongoing hurt from a death. And many different scenarios exist that can leave us in a hopeless state if all we do is look internally to find a way through. God invites us to be humble enough to ask for help. And that's what's happening tonight, is you're joining a brotherhood, a church. And that's one of the things that comes along with church. You're made part of a body. And you know a body is made of hands and feet and eyes and ears, and they all need each other. We are incapable of being every part of the body. We need other people in our lives. And so, if we want to go far with God, we need to rise to the challenge of honesty with our own selves, honesty with our own weaknesses, rise to the challenge of humility and a willingness to accept help from the body. There's a proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And so I just want to invite you to avail yourself of the help that comes through a body of believers as you become a part of this body. Another thing from the the Ethiopian here yet, and then we'll look at Philip. Verse 37, we have this little word. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart. If you believe with all your heart. All is a little word that just means it's undivided. It's everything. It's not part. It's all, right? But it's not only just believing with all your heart, but it's loving with all your heart. An undivided love, an undivided faith, an undivided loyalty. And so number three is give God all of you. Give God all of you. Let me just read some verses. Actually, it would be good for us to turn to them. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Verse 29 to 31. And Jesus answered him. This was one of the scribes that came to him. And he asked, what is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Jesus said, this is the ultimate. Love God with all your heart. Give him everything you have. That's a choice that we make. There's also a choice that we need to make to put off some things. Let's go back to Ephesians, which is where Brother Jeff was in devotions. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. These are things we need to crucify. God is looking for us to get rid of all the flesh. We're going to continue to battle that, but that needs to be our attempt. Wherever we find that flesh, wherever we find the bitterness or the anger, cut it off, perform spiritual surgery, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And when we do that, when we love him with all of our heart, and when we crucify all of the flesh that the Spirit brings to our awareness, it is then that God is able to make all grace abound toward us. This is 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may arise and go, right? May abound to every good work. This is where God can use you. He can make you fruitful in his kingdom. He makes us able to do all that he asks us to do. You want to go far? Give it all you have. Give God everything that you have. Let's think about Philip a little bit. I believe Philip was one of the seven deacons. And if you read earlier in chapter 8, he had been preaching in Samaria. And it says that, verse 26, it says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. And then in verse 29, it says, the Spirit said unto Philip, he was visited by an angel, I suppose, that's what the scripture says, that said, go to the south, go down to the road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. And it was in the desert. You think he wondered, why? Why did the desert, Lord? But he went. Philip was serving the Samaritans, but God had more work for him to do, and he sent him to the desert. The fourth thing I want to look at tonight is be sensitive to the voice of God's Spirit. Be sensitive to the voice of God's Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit in your lives is something very important. Romans 8 and 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And we have kind of this line in the sand that says, we struggle with this idea of the Holy Spirit indwelling sometimes. But he says, every believer has the Holy Spirit. That's the mark of being a believer. Those who are in Christ have received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit within us assures us of being God's child. It comforts, it teaches, it fills, it strengthens us. But it's always for the glory of God. He works through us. But we need to listen. We need to listen for that voice. Philip was very attentive to the voice of God and to the direction of God. We can have selective hearing sometimes. I think maybe us as dads get blamed for that the most. We can kind of turn off our ears if we're in the middle of something else. Don't you hear what I'm saying to you? Are you with us? Yeah, I'm here. I was thinking. You see, we have two physical ears, but scientists say we can think at least four times as fast as what people can talk into our ears. And so sometimes when people are talking, we're thinking out ahead. But one of the things that needs to happen with the voice of God is we need to learn to stop and listen, to quiet our hearts before Him. I thought of the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 19, because sometimes we say, well, what is the voice of God? What does it sound like? How do you hear it? How does it come to me? How does it come to you? Well, the story of Elijah, after he had his victory at Mount Carmel and he ran, running for his life away from Jezebel, it says that there was a wind, there was an earthquake, and there was a fire, but it wasn't God. But then there was a still small voice, and it was the voice of God speaking to him. God found him there in a cave, and God had a message for him. And he said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And his first instruction was, go, get up and go, arise and go. It may be through the word of God that you're reading that you'll hear that still small voice. It may be during prayer. It may be through a continual feeling of discomfort, something that you know just isn't right. Sometimes it comes through the voice of the church, especially when you're part of the body of the church. God uses the church to speak into your life. But if you want to go far, you need to learn to listen. And then run, like Philip did, which leads us right into the next point. Arise and go, and he arose and went, and Philip ran. I find that very inspirational. His obedience, his service, his usefulness, his response to that voice. Number five, live your life at God's disposal. In other words, just do what God wants you to do. Obey. Listen and obey. That's the only right response to the voice of God. Think about Abraham. When God said to him, he said, get up and go to a land that I will show you. Just start going and I'll tell you where. And he went. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Do you think he heard an audible voice? I don't know. But he knew it was God's voice one way or another. And he said, I know it's God and I will go. Because, well, this is my land. This is my house. This is my things. But my life is at God's disposal. He, as creator and Lord, can call me, tell me, show me, lead me, and I will go. That's what a life at God's disposal means. My time, my talents, give them to God. He wants to use you. Your money, your knowledge, give them to God, especially in your youth. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Remember who? Your creator, the one that made you, has a purpose for you and he wants to use you. But it's only as you give yourself to him. I just want to read the words from song number 965 in our song books. This song is so inspirational to me, and especially as I think of young men who stand at the verge of this type of decision and this type of commitment. 965, Lord, in the fullness of my might is the title. Lord, in the fullness of my might, this is a prayer. I would for thee be strong while runneth o'er each dear delight. To thee should soar my song. I would not give the world my heart and then profess thy love. I would not feel my strength depart and then thy service prove. I would not with swift-winged zeal on the world's errands go and labor up the heavenly hill with weary feet and slow. That's not what I want. Oh, not for thee my weak desires, my poorer, baser part. Oh, not for thee, my fading fires, the ashes of my heart. Oh, choose me in my golden time. Young men are in your golden time, full of life and energy. In my dear joys have part, for thee the glory of my prime, the fullness of my heart. If you're going to go on with God and you're going to go far with God, you'll need to give him your very self, your very life. God, here it is. It's at your disposal. Use me where you want to. Number 6. Learn to exercise faith and patience. Exercise faith and patience. I see Philip's faith here. As he climbed up in this chariot and began to analyze, how am I going to help this young man? How am I going to help him to an understanding of this Jesus, this Messiah? Well, it started with a real faith himself, right? He knew who he believed. He knew who he served. He knew who had died for his sins. I believe Jesus stirred his heart. When Philip thought about Christ, it moved him. It was precious to him. That story meant something to him. He believed it with all of his heart. And he could have said, well, you should know. You were just in Jerusalem. Didn't you see? Didn't you hear? Didn't you ask? Don't you know what happened? No, he patiently worked with him and taught him. And it says he took him to the Old Testament. He started right where he was. And he preached Jesus unto him. Preached Jesus unto him. What a beautiful testimony. He had an understanding that the eunuch did not yet have. It is of utmost importance, young men, of utmost importance that you anchor your life with a solid faith in the Lord Jesus, that you know that he is the answer and he is the one. And it's because of him that I can ever stand before a holy God and be presented blameless. It's only through the work of Christ, unashamedly and unbashfully standing for that. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's what Paul said. But do you know what the first part of that verse is? He says, for the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. And so it doesn't mean that the life of faith will always be an easy life, but it is faith that will carry us through. Turn to 2 Peter 1 yet. And maybe faith and patience are two. They're just a small piece of the puzzle, really. Let's see those in particular. But there's so many Christian qualities here. God-like qualities that he wants you to develop in your lives. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 8. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's quite a calling. And like I said, that's just part of it. But it is part of the addition, what God wants to work in your life. And he wants to build on the faith that you already have and continue to mold and shape you into what he wants you to be. And number 7 yet, I want to look at verses 39 and 40. You see what happened at the end of this story? They had the baptism, and all of a sudden Philip was gone. It would be like Brother Joe would baptize you, and suddenly, where did he go? That's really what happened. He was gone. He was gone. The Spirit called him away, caught him away, it says. Why? Because he had more work for him to do, didn't he? And he went on his way rejoicing. That was the eunuch. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Tradition also says that the eunuch carried this gospel back to Ethiopia. There's a very real possibility that churches were started there and the gospel began to blossom and to spread into new territory because of what happened here in this chapter. And so number 7, be an instrument in spreading the gospel. If you want to go far with God, you need to have a desire to be an instrument used of God to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Again, think about all the touch points in a story like this. You think about who all the Ethiopian may have met on his trip from Ethiopia to Jerusalem and back again. His life was full of happenings and people and this and that. Perhaps there were people in Jerusalem who witnessed to him. Perhaps Philip could have said, but he's already been in Jerusalem. He probably heard, he knows, right? No, he said, I'll plant another seed. You see, it is so important that we just plant those seeds. Or maybe you could think of them as links in the chain. Just add another link to that chain of their knowledge and their accountability. And sometime it'll connect and they'll understand that, oh, this is Jesus and I'm a sinner and I need him. And just because you haven't led a soul to Christ personally doesn't mean you shouldn't keep spreading the word and doing what you can. It's so important to just make those things happen because it is the command of God. It is. I want to close with the Great Commission from Matthew chapter 28. Christ has given this here at the end of his ministry. Jesus came and spake unto them, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And he said this, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go. Again, we're talking about going and going far with God, going into places where God can use us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, here's the promise, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. And that's the promise that I want to leave with you tonight. You want to go far with God? You want this to be a step that leads you on a path toward more blessing and more fullness and doing more for the Lord and being used of him in greater ways? Then take him along. Take him along. He says, I will be with you all the way. I will help you. I will guide you. And it's a tremendous, tremendous privilege that we have and a promise that we can claim. I will be with you. My desire is to see you go far, to see you prosper. I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. And that's Devon, and that's you too, Carl. God bless you. It's my desire to see you blossom and bear fruit for him.